How many are glad for a new law written on fleshy tables of the heart? How many are aware of His presence and of His voice? I would hope more than ever before, His leading. How many know that that is a process of growth? Have you ever missed it before? If you're looking up here, I'll put up both hands and a foot. I'd fall if I put the other one up. But I'll tell you what, the more free I get from the constraint of a code, and the more I enter into a relationship as Jesus is unveiled, the clearer His voice becomes. And He leads us, not just in what the church would consider spiritual things, but in the dirt, ground level, practical business of the everyday saint. In everything. I'm here glad for that. Amen. Let's start reading where we left off last week. Actually, we're going to back up just a little bit further to verse. Well, I don't want to start there. Let's back up to verse 8 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. Thank you. Get where I need to be here on my... Wherein He hath abounded toward us. How many are glad for that? I picture a tidal wave. What's He talking about? Look at the last part of the previous verse. The riches of His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He's speaking of the work of Jesus on the cross, because that's what these next three, this chapter and the next two, open up beautifully, what has been done. He says, having been made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Won't that be a great day? In whom also we have, remember this from last week? This is past tense. We have obtained an inheritance. If you just look up any dictionary and look up the word inheritance, and it says something that is or may be inherited. Property passing. I want you to listen to this. Inheritance. Property passing at the owner's death to the heir or those entitled to succeed. Legacy is another term. A few of the other definitions. I like the first one best. We'll go back and read it again. The genetic characters transmitted from parent to offspring. How many know we have royal blood flowing in our veins according to the Word of God? I'm a king's kid. How about you? Ah, you can do better than that. I'm a king's kid. How about you? Something as a quality characteristic or other immaterial possession received from progenitors or predecessors as if by succession. The act or fact of inheriting by succession, as then it goes on and gives different birthright, heritage, portion. We hear that scripture a lot in the King James. Portion, the importance of the birthright. Jacob and Esau, all of that picture that is there. Let me back up to the very first one. Something that is or may be inherited. Property passing at the owner's death. How many are glad for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? So when you hear the word inheritance, there is a literal inheritance for those who have been adopted into this great family by the precious blood of Jesus. There has been a transfer of wealth beyond our wildest dreams. He not only provides in this life, but the promise was those who for my sake leave all comforts and enter into this life being a Christian. How many know it's wonderful, but it comes with persecution and adversity. He says, those that do these things for my sake, they'll receive 100-fold in this life. And listen to what he says, and in the life to come. How many are glad this isn't all there is to it? This is awesome. I'm blessed and highly favored right here, but this is just practice for the real deal. How many are glad for Jesus today? And we have, as the blood-bought children of God, an inheritance because somebody died in our place and transferred the wealth of heaven to you and I. That's why this great book starts out with, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you know that everything that we enjoy and receive in life, even practical things in this world, started in the unseen realm? Do you know that to date, scientists have no clue what brushes and keeps all... You look at a window, scientists will tell you with a very powerful microscope, there's nothing still about it. Or there is mass that is moving constantly. Rocks. Jesus spoke of rocks crying out. They still do not know. There are sound waves that come from seemingly nowhere that ever brush all that we know here on planet Earth. Always coming. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they come from. But they said it seems to relate directly to all matter and its movement. In the beginning, Scott, God created the heaven. That's why I love this tour. God created the heavens and the earth. With the spoken word, everything that we see had its beginning. Let me tell you something. Everything that we have received, everything that we shall receive, started in the unseen realm. This is why Jesus had no trouble cursing a fig tree. Nothing seemed to happen, and he walked away. Or it was the following day on the return that Peter pipes up and said, look, the tree that you cursed is dead. And then Scripture goes on to say, for it had dried from the roots up. There was a moment last week, and it saddens me because I saw a couple of people that should know better. When I asked Rebecca last week about the pain in her body, I love her honesty. I didn't expect anything else. She said, it's the same. It hasn't changed. I said, well, sweetie, God didn't reveal this without a plan. So you hold on. And I saw the look of unbelief and embarrassment. Never be embarrassed of this great gospel. It's not up to you to know what and how things are going to happen. Who would know that for 2 hours an unseen hand would work through her hips and pelvis and up and down her back and her neck and speak to her in a voice that to her was audible? Who would know that? How many are ready for God to do great things in your life? He is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he absolutely. And that's why I hesitate many times to do that sort of things. Many times things will come and I'll see, and I'll just express it in generalities while I'm preaching. I recognize my gifting because the last thing I want anybody to take away from something like that is that God plays favorites, for he does not. Every once in a while, he just reminds us that his power is here. He is here to heal, to save, deliver. He is, write it down, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm very glad for Jesus. I'm very glad for an inheritance because somebody died, paid the price. 2 Corinthians 5:21, how many can say it with me now? He who knew no sin became, the Bible prophesies that he would hang on a pole like the serpent in the wilderness, and all who looked on him would be made whole. How many can lift your hands today and say, Lord, I'm whole and getting more whole every day. Come on. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Grace makes me wise. I don't just look at stuff anymore. I see with the eyes of the Spirit. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Amen. That may sound crazy to you right now because maybe where you're at in your walk with God, but proclaim it anyway. Begin to step out. He's willing and able to help us in the process. That's what this book is all about. Sets us free. We're gonna, if we get there today, sets us free from law, nails everything that was against us, all the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, nailed them together with his body to the tree. His blood paid the total price. And he said, now, I'm going to give you a little help about this spirit walk. I'm going to show you what it needs to look like. He gives us something to shoot for. He doesn't just say, okay, you're on your own now. Figure it out. I'm very glad for Jesus. Okay, let's keep on. In whom we have also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. If predestinated bothers you, those who preach five-point Calvinism and predestination, which means God in his infinite wisdom and in his total sovereignty, there's abuse of these terms and phrases. God chose certain ones to be saved and certain others not to be. Absolute perversion of the gospel. He chose for all. He predestinated for all to come to him. It's our choice to respond. But he loved us. And this is seen in something that goes right over people's heads. The book of Revelation speaks of names being blotted out of, not written in, blotted out. That means everybody was in. That's amazing. Also, remember when Jesus sent out the 70 and he said, go in my name, heal the sick. Notice he didn't say, pray that I'll do it or pray that the Father will do it. He says, you go and you heal the sick in my name. That's one little hint about how this works. And you just, we need to stop being proud and we need to lay hands on people and say, in Jesus' name, I command healing into this body. Sorry, Scott. Extra right there. Healing into this body. That's not arrogant. That's humble because you're doing what he told you to do. They were like children. These men weren't even born again. They were not even born again. He hadn't died yet. They were disciples. They were followers of his who were observing what he was doing, and they had received him as Messiah to an extent, but he had not yet paid the price for redemption. Let me sidetrack one little more. I've said this before, but we have a few different people here. This will help you. You remember the scary verse that many of us who grew up in Pentecostalism and Holiness Pentecostalism, the one that says that in that day many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? So you better watch out, buddy, till the day you draw your last breath. You need to be fearful about. Stop. He was speaking as a Jew to his own. For even those who went in his name, even these 70, would someday, after he had paid the price, that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. After he had paid the price for sin, shed his blood, died, was resurrected, and ascended to the Father. Until that time, there was no remission for sins. And those people, those 70, would still in their future, even though they cast out devils, even though they healed the sick, they would still in their future be faced with a decision about what they would do with Jesus replacing the whole old system, the law and the prophets. This is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with James. You remember the story? And John and Peter. Peter, James, and John standing behind him. I love when Joseph Prince brought this out. I'd never seen it, never heard anybody else talk about it. He said behind him he had their names meaning law, stone, changing to James, And I don't have the exact translation right, but you'll get the gist of it. You can look this up yourself. And John to love. So you have Peter, James, and John, and a voice from heaven. You remember? Peter piped up, "Oh, this is so awesome. For there appeared before them on were the Moses and the prophets, and Jesus is speaking to them," and Peter pipes up and says, "Man, let's build." We all do it. Let's build a system. Let's build a square. Let's build a fence. Let's build a house. And while he yet was speaking, God interrupts him. That's what the Bible says. He was in the middle of, and let's do this. Let's build one for him and for me and for you and for John and for whatever. Let's do. And right in the middle while he's talking, "This is my beloved son. The law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah," is who we're speaking of, who he was in this deep conversation with, "fade out of view." They fade away. And Jesus is standing there, his countenance shining so that they could hardly behold him. A voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Isn't that amazing? He interrupted Peter. "Enough of this. That no longer is how this works." How many are glad for Jesus today? Okay, let me go back. So I've gone on three rabbit trails. You guys probably don't even remember where I was at. So let's come all the way back. Okay, huh? Well, before we go there, I want to finish the one rabbit trail. And that is, we don't need to worry anymore about those verses, "In that day, many shall in my name." We don't have to worry about that. That's not speaking to us who are born again through the blood-bought salvation, purchase of our salvation, salvation complete. Eternal, Hebrews calls it, eternal redemption. Never fear again. How many can worship with me just a moment? Never again worried about that. Never let anybody shake that verse over your head. Doesn't even apply to you, for they were not yet born again. I think many of them were. There probably were those among them that were not. We know, I know that for a fact, because Hebrews is all about that. Pleading with the holy brethren of Israel to leave the system of the law and prophets and go on into Jesus alone. John 14:6, Jesus declares part of what got him killed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Jew or Gentile, I'm glad for Jesus today. So you never need to be concerned about that ever again. How many are glad for eternal redemption? How many are glad this little book says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God? We're going to look at it here in just a minute. Vacuum packed and ready to go. Amen. From this world in to the next. Amen. Now, the next thing I wanted you to see was, going back, that the disciples that were sent out, the 70, who were not born again, were sent out, commissioned by Jesus to go. And when they came back, they were rejoicing. And they told the Lord, "Even the devils were subject," and listen to what they say, "subject unto us." I wish that a few Bible-believing, modern-day believers, maybe a handful of you yet in this church, would understand that you have absolute authority over the devil. Hallelujah. Quit being afraid. Amen. He is a liar and the father of lies, and in him is no truth at all. He abides in darkness. My Bible says that my Father is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and in him there is no darkness at all. How many are glad for Jesus today? How many are glad for the Father that Jesus came to reveal? I'll tell you what, this stuff isn't popular, but it's going to get more popular because this is the gospel. And this is the only thing that sets people free. Amen? I wanted you to see then that they said to Jesus, Lord, even the devils are subject to our name. And Jesus' response was interesting. A little bit of paraphrase on my part, but he says, yeah, I know that. I saw Satan fall like a bolt of lightning. He said, but rejoice not. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus said. Another little side note. He didn't correct them and say, well, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto me. Guys, you got to remember, it's not you. It's me. So you got to get that straight. Notice that he affirms and confirms what they said. Rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you. I would that a few born-again, spirit-filled believers would set that behind them once and for all and start telling the devil where to go. James meant it when he said in James 4:7, submit to God. How do you submit to God? Follow the rules. Why are we lost? That's a trick question that shouldn't fool anybody in here. No, it has nothing to do with follow the rules. How do you submit to God? Jesus said something very interesting, and I don't have the exact address. Maybe somebody can find it for me. He says that I must do the works of the one who sent me. And he said, this is the work. That they would believe. What? What? Believe? A work? Yes. He said, this is a different kind of thing. This is the work. Let me describe you what I'm talking about. This is why when Mary and Martha, they're in Martha's house, Mary is sitting at his feet. Mary's upset. She's scurrying about cleaning everything and washing dishes and concerned about the way things look. To the point she gets so tunneled out that she barks at Jesus. Hello, the whole point for her scurry. And Jesus gently but strongly reminds her, there's really only one thing that's necessary, and it's what she's doing. That's either incredible, bold, audacious arrogance, or he is the Son of God and knows exactly why he's there. And he said that what she was doing, just receiving, what is a perfect way to describe somebody who just openly receives from the Lord? Believing. When we really believe, there's no strain. And he said that Mary's believing would be a work that would be remembered forever. Her believing would be a work that would be remembered forever. What is works for the New Testament believer? In their very name, believe. Jesus said, this is the work. Believe. To believe that the Father has sent me. There's the work. That's why Joseph Prince rightfully says, and I echo him on a regular basis, the more you see Jesus, the more that which is not of God will shed away, and the more you will be able to walk in the power that is already. Guys, I'm telling you, if you have confessed the name of Jesus, you are already hooked up to 220. It's not his fault. You've wired it all the way down to D.C. But there's a main trunk in you right now, man. If you'll learn and get a hold of this stuff, pull the lever, you're hooked up to 220. That's part of the inheritance. There's a bigger one than 220. What is it? Huh? 440. Yeah, forget 220. You're hooked up to 440. See, we just learned something. Oh, you're glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Say, how does this affect my life practically? Are you kidding me? As you walk through your day and you make decisions, back to James 4:7, submit to God. Did somebody write that verse down? I hope you did. Submit to God. How do you submit to God? What is the whole book talking about? What's the whole verse? He's a Jew speaking to Jewish Christians, and he's grappling still with their Jewishness. He reminds them of that in chapter 2 of James when he says, you haven't got a picture yet of what this is about. If the poor and lowly stay in the back and the rich man walks in, and you put him up front and give him a footstool, and then he gives them a little lesson on, let me tell you how this works. You who think that you're righteous by anything you do according to the law. He said, if you offend in one, you offend in all. Brother Womack puts it this way. Big picture window in your living room, shoot it with a BB gun or throw a grandbaby piano through it. Broke is broke. We need a Savior. Aren't you glad we have one? That was weak. Aren't you glad we have one? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Good news. Submit to God. How do you submit to God? Just believe. Believe. I remember when I went through a series, and I struggled with it for about three. It was one of the shortest ones I've ever done. Probably a reason why. We lost a few people. Lost a big chunk of tithe. Made it really tough for a while. But I taught a series trying to bring home the fact that Jesus did not require a single thing other than believe in his ministry of miracles when he walked the earth. That's why, anyway, I don't want to go off into all that, but here he is. He hadn't even yet paid the price for salvation, but his only requirement was only, over and over and over and over again, only believe. Louis Bowes, when I were talking about that, he prayed for a lady when he was working still at Fry's down off Willow Creek Road. He said, I'm slated for operation, I'm terrible pain. He said, would you let me pray for you? He's like, sure. He goes, I believe in the power of God, and when I lay hands on you, the power of God's going to hit you, and he's going to heal your back. He said, I don't know what came over me, I just spoke it out. And he said, so here I am in this awkward position laying hands on a lady back in the next to the meat locker. So it doesn't look real good. That I'm kind of gingerly, and I just spoke healing and then stepped back and walked away. She said her eyes got big. She came around later the next day. She said, all the pain is gone. I've canceled. He says, well, why don't you come to church with me? You can receive Jesus. I don't know if I'm ready for that right now. Why don't we remove the shock and worship right now? He healed her body. All she had to do was believe. And she doesn't even trust him in his Savior. And we're locked up on all of our crap. Excuse me, I said it. Leave it on the tape. Religious nonsense. The goodness of God is far beyond. Would you dare to believe? Amen. How many love Jesus today? I think is the rest of his story. She eventually came to the Lord. But here is the picture. Here's another picture. There's some fishermen in some boats, John. And they're not having a very good day. And Rabbi, he's a rabbi. Master is what we know in our King James. He's a rabbi. He appears there on the shore and he says, hey, fellas. There's so much revelation in this story. I don't have time because it'd be a whole separate sermon of the positioning of the boat and where Jesus is at and what he said. It's all very, very prophetic. Of course, all the Word of God is. That's almost silly to say that. But the bottom line is that Jesus stood there and he said, Peter, if you will come and follow me, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop that cursing. You got a mouth on you. He did. He had a mouth on him. You a grace person, you still got a mouth on you? Grace. Take it away. Not through your effort, but through your seeing and meditating and dwelling on Him. I mean, no, it's not good. James says, a fountain should not issue forth sweet and bitter water. We've used grace as an excuse for fountains that produce both sweet and bitter. Trees that produce both sweet and bitter. Actually, grace, the more you see Him, grace, the sweeter your well will become. And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad that when you slip up, there is no judgment from heaven, but rather a voice from within that calls you away, expresses hurt and grief, not condemnation, not fear of punishment, not fear of God. Actually, He hugs you tighter. Hallelujah. In that moment of failure. Yes. And if you'll quit seeing it as condemnation and see it that He loves you so much that He expresses the hurt that He feels in you, for you are His. Yes. And He is yours. That's the gospel. Amen. Versus religion. You get that set free. Baptism in the Holy Ghost and the miracle you need in your bloodstream will just happen. The clutches of religion still remain in aspects of our thinking, but the more we preach the gospel, the more it has to turn loose. Anybody want to join me in here this morning saying together with me, He is good. Come on, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, praise Him this morning. Praise Him this morning. Stand to your feet. Come on, people, praise Him this morning. Say it with me, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Woo, He's good. Hallelujah. Now sit down, because I got to preach some more. Bunch of Catholics. Oh, aren't you glad for Jesus? We've made it through three verses. How long you think it's going to take us through Ephesians? Back to the original rabbit trail. Here it is. Rejoice not that the devils are subject. I love it, Tom. Unto you. He affirmed. They were subject to them. I remember when I was in Bible school at Rhema, Brother Sumrall, he was my champion. Since going on to be with the Lord, I dealt with a lot of fear. So did my dad and his dad. Fear had a grip on that family, a morbid thing. That as they yielded disasters, it was one of those families that horrible disaster followed them. It continued in one of the brothers, their kids and their, I mean, if I told you the story, you wouldn't believe the story of the Shaw family. And I'm so glad that he raised up a little 13-year-old boy, my grandmother, who went to be 39 years of age in an automobile accident. Another one of them. It's just a family ridden with tragedy. It's as if the devil, and people so wrongfully say they're generational curses. That's nonsense. I still hear it around here. Stop it. That is connected to the old law. There is no such thing for the believer as a generational curse. There are little lying devils that know your family called familiar spirits who know how your daddy thought, know how you think, and they know the triggers to pull to deceive you into doing stuff. That's not a generational curse. James 4:7 says, submit to God, believe in His love, resist the devil, and he's got a skedaddle. You don't have to submit to that. I'm glad for Jesus today. Stop it. I don't want to hear it anymore here. Generational nonsense. That's Old Testament. Not only that, I suspect even the writer's understanding, because they didn't understand the Father like we do now. Remember, Jesus came to reveal the Father. For Jehovah, actually Elohim speaking, says, "It's not my will or desire that another should suffer for the sins, that one should suffer for the sins of another." Highly suspect. Even the law's declaration of generational curses. That's teaching for another time. I'm here to tell you He is good. And you can back it with the Word of God and with the life and work of Jesus. You know, this stuff, this kind of preaching makes people nervous. I hear it all the time. People say, "I don't understand why we're not packed out." I don't either. But I know one thing, it brings you right here. What are you going to do with Him? I'd rather not deal with that. Let's just do stuff. I'm used to working. I'm used to hoeing. I can see my line. I'd rather just... But that will change. All we need is a press. God help us. Talking about our nation as a people. We're asleep right now. Not us. We're asleep. The church is, anyway. So, let's keep moving. So, back to the disciples. Jesus, brother, Summerall. Summerall, though, my family riddled with fear. My grandmother, my dad talks about this. They'd sit around and sing these old country songs that were just morbid. I mean, make you bawl. Wreck of Old 98, The Baggage Coach Ahead. And they'd sit around and weep and cry and say, "Mama, please sing another one." They were raised in an environment of dread and fear and all of it was just, and this isn't just their family, but it opened up doors of great fear. My dad wrestled with that stuff. Even when he finally got to go to the mission field, his prayer was, "Lord, even if it cost me my family, even if you take my family, I'm willing to do this for you." Can you imagine the commitment to a God you loved and yet the confusion that He could be the one that would take Nathan away or the entire family? Fear. I love what John says, 1 John 4. He says, "Perfect love. Those who have believed on the Son, perfect love cast out that kind of fear that opens up the enemy." I remember Brother Summerall speaking of his calling and his ministry, very young guy. He was in his early 20s when he headed to the Philippines, literally had 2 nickels in his pockets. He tells the story, it's in his books. Gets to Manila, and many of you have seen the story. You can find this in one of his books where somebody finds out he's a man who God is using with authority over demonic spirits. And they call him. Nobody else was willing to go. They got a young, I think she was 16 years old, young girl in a jail cell there, a padded cell, that would toss 6 police officers around like they were nothing. And they got a hold of him. He goes in. She's delivered from that demonic spirit. I believe there's pictures and everything of the back of the holes, perforations and scratches and teeth marks all up and down the middle of her back. So it was impossible that would appear in her person. And he said, "But you know," he said, "I was able to go down there with no fear." He says, "Because God removed fear from me as a young man." He said, "I began to recognize some things." And as I'm sitting there in amazement, young guy, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, my first year in Bible school, and I'm listening to the man talk, and faith is rising in me. If he does that, and your word says that you're not a respecter of persons, what you'll do for one, you'll do for all. Lord, I want that. And then he said something. It's as though the Lord had heard my prayer, because he said something that for me really clicked. He said, "You know, there's a lot of," he says, "some of you need to realize that the power of God, if you'll trust Him, removes fear." He said, "I want you to understand something." He said, "Devils can't operate without fear." He said, in fact, I'm going to tell you something else I've learned. He said, there are atheists that will never see a table levitated or something demonically happen. They'll never see it because they simply don't believe. He said, the devil's already got them. They're on their way to hell. But he said, they'll never have to worry about a manifestation or being freaked out because they don't believe in him. Turn that around. How about simple belief? That's why Jesus over and over again in his ministry said, here's the requirement, only believe. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful stuff. This book, we're not going to get there today, speaks of that authority already under your feet. The only thing that changes that is a lying, weak little devil. We talked earlier about 220 and 4 what? 440, duh, double, I guess. There you go. Do you know that you ever gone into a fuse panel and looked at that little old weak connection that's sending power to an entire cement plant or power grid? Just one little old weak. It amazes me to see, like 220, I've never seen 440, but see 220, how that little old piece, it looks like nothing but a piece of solder wire or copper, whatever, in there. That one little, and just one little snip, and all that power goes away. Do you know that the devil's grip on your mind and on your future and on your relationships and on your body? I've heard people say, oh, Jesus busted his teeth out and he's powerless, and that's a little naive. I've had the Lord speak to me and said, listen, you're going into this deal in the wrong way. You do not want to get into a wrestling match. You stay hidden in me and let me work through you and listen to my voice. You don't need to get in a wrestling match with the devil in this deal. You have power over him, but there's a little bit of arrogance in you right now. I didn't see it till I looked backwards and I realized I had a little bit of arrogance. I was going a little bit in my own strength. The devil has power, but here's the good news. He has incredible power. Here's the good news. The link to that power is weak. It's called fear. And when we get a hold of this, Brother Summerall said, and it clicked in me, he said, when he said atheist will never experience, I thought that's, had something switched in me. It was a trigger of faith. And from that day to this, I don't care what's going on, there's no devil. That day, I don't know if Barb's in here today, but that situation up there, I was checking my phone and texting people on my way to fear. And you got people scared and is that true? Scared and hiding. Look at her back there. She experienced it. There were those two nurses, I'll never forget it, Barb. They're leaning out around looking at that lady and me, wondering what's going to happen. Because there was some demonic, supernatural stuff, she'll tell you. Her body stuck halfway out from her waist, out on a bed in thin air. Let me tell you something. This little book right here says you've been set free from the law. You've been given a new law called the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and He has put all of that under your feet. We're getting there. We're getting there. You have no need to fear. When he said that, something clicked in me, and I thought, then why should I? Perfect love, John said, cast out. Oh, fear. It'll change the way you live. You know that most people live their life, even the tough guys, live their life reacting to fear. The most walled up, gruff, tough, bust your face. They're walled up and the way they are because of fear. Would you raise your hands all over the room right now? I take authority in Jesus' name. over fear. Come on, would you just receive? Just receive. It is not a slogan to help us cope and get through when John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's trying to preach something until it's caught by the Spirit of God, the anointing that says it really is true. I bind it in Jesus' name. Release the love of God this morning over this place. That our people, Lord, would cease to live reactionary lives and lives that are proactive in love and in faith. For faithful is he who has promised to complete that which he started until its end. Say it out loud with me. Fear, you're losing your grip on me. Oh, man, it'll change the way you pray. The way you work. Oh, man, I wished I had another hour. All the way back to the disciples. Luke 11, I believe it is. He says, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you. He affirms that he is. Unborn again men. Where does that put you? Unborn again men who have not yet entered into sonship. Jesus acknowledges that because of his commission to them, the devils are subject unto them. All they needed was a switch. That's pretty amazing. He says, but rather rejoice that your names are written. Think of this. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're all in there. Now we're back to Ephesians. How'd you like that rabbit trail? Wasn't that powerful? That's fun. All right. So predestination, that's how we get started on that. Isn't that great to just follow the Spirit of God and he's dealing with people's issues in here while we're talking? I don't know why you went there, but it hit me right home. Well, let's just quit worrying about having church and let's just break this open together. Right now we're having communion. Spirit of God is the wine and the broken word is the bread. Be careful you don't exalt ritual and think you're going to get a magic trick because of a ritual. Right now, we're breaking bread and drinking wine. This is the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I didn't say the other was bad or not good. I just said we put too much emphasis on ritual. I'm going to hit that one day, but not now. So predestinated, everybody was. Everybody's name is there. That's the goodness of God. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And I don't blame you if you just heard that last verse like, now to the next one that we understand. How many understood anything that was just said right there? That is just pure Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. That we who first trusted in Christ should be. That's really high and lofty language. That's praise God for. Let's move to something we understand. It's because of the way translations happen. There's nothing wrong with them. There's an article, and we'll do this in parting. Have you had fun this morning? There's an article, and you can go to this cite yourself, my phone will behave. Yes, Bill, it is an Android. Lightoftheword.org. I don't agree with everything there, but this gal is a real woman of God. Got some good stuff. This is under the Epistle to the Ephesians. And she says this, and I'm going to read straight out of an article she has online called To the Praise of His Glory. If you just Google search it, if you got a phone on you, you probably could find it. Greg, let me know. It's lightoftheword.org. Or you could probably just Google. Yeah, that's it, right there. How did you find it? Did it come right up to Ephesians? To the Ephesians deal? If you were to add on that in Google, lightoftheword.org, and then add to the praise of his glory, I'll bet he'd kick this up right up. So I'm going to read it to you, whether you find it or not. I'll go ahead and read it. This is tremendous, and we'll end here. How many are enjoying Ephesians already? We just barely got started. All that stuff I was talking about, our power and authority through the name of Jesus, over fear. Do you know that this little book, after it nails down, we're all going to go two more chapters, and then the whole discourse changes in four. And he says, now because of all of this, let me show you now what this new law, the spirit within, how it is supposed to look. And he immediately begins to speak of giftings, why they're there, what the church is supposed to look like, under what authority they abide. And he immediately goes back to power over demonic forces. Come on, people. We are overcomers. That's not a political slogan. That's a fact. Actually, it's not a fact. It's a truth. It's far higher than fact. A truth of the gospel. She says here, you are reading along in Ephesians chapter 1 and are being very uplifted. I've been uplifted this morning. Uplifted by what you've been given in Christ. All spiritual blessings. He chose us, holy and without blame. Woo! Adoption of children. Hey, she says, I'm God's child and no one can take it away. Then you come to verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Wow, what's that? It definitely is grace that you have all these things, but what does this mean to the praise of his glory? Bill, could we go ahead and have that verse up and just leave it up? The last one we were looking at, so that we're seeing it. In this paper, she says, I would like to share with you both from both the Greek and Aramaic about three times in chapter 1 it says, to the praise of his glory. You've noticed that, right? Okay. So this isn't a phrase that is just thrown out once or confused, it's on purpose. Spirit of God knows what he's speaking through the Apostle Paul. The reason I want to share from both languages is that each language contributes to the overall understanding, and the context then supplies the emphasis of each phrase. There are three key words in Greek in verse 6 and the phrase, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So hopefully you can find this and you can have this for your own, print it out and have it for your own notes. It's powerful. These are epinos, doxa, and charis. Most of you in Bible school, you recognize all three of those or have been through. Epinos is the commendation or praise, and it is only used of man to God. The idea is that one being praised is worthy of special recognition. God the Father, verse 3, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He gave all these wonderful things to us. That is worthy of special recognition by us back to him. You follow that? Okay. He chose us so that we could be holy and without spot or blame. This isn't a promise of a future event. This is a promise of our position now in Jesus before God. Holy and without blame. That's a shocker for most. I don't get it. It's only by his grace. What does it recognize? It is praise or recognition for the glory of his grace. Let me back up. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He gave us all these wonderful things to us. That is worthy of special recognition by us back to him. He chose us so that we could be holy and without blame, spot or blame. That blessing deserves recognition. What does it recognize? It is praise or recognition for the glory of his grace. Glory is doxa, which is the reflective representation of something showing power, splendor, or honor. Grace is charis, an unmerited gift or divine favor. Both of these words are full of weight and significance. But the most important thing to note is the emphasis of the phrase. It is a figure of speech where the genitive of possession, grace's possession, okay? is put as a prepositional phrase of his grace, with what that emphasizes is the word grace. It could be translated his glorious grace, but saying it with this figure makes it mean glory of his grace. Thus, what is being commended for or praised is God's grace. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise, should be to the praise of his glory. What he's speaking of here is the praise and recognition, once again, of his grace towards us. His divine favor is totally worthy of recognition of the highest amount of praise. He says, Now I want to tell you a little about the Greek culture. When a man who owned slaves died, and in his will gave the slaves their freedom, they would put on a cap of liberty to show that they were now free. At the funeral and afterward, they would parade in the town and streets, telling all that their master was so great, he had set them free. Actual history. That custom is described as being to the praise of his glory. Get it? In other words, they were showing the greatness and splendor of the master because he had set them. I got a chill bump. In the first eight verses of Ephesians 1, there is no less than 10 things that God has done for us. He certainly has set us free so we can be to the praise of his glory. We are recognizing the greatness and splendor of our God because of what he has given us. In Aramaic, there are three different phrases using separate words for the three phrases of to the praise of his glory in Ephesians 1. And then she goes on, you can read that for yourself. Just a little insight. Where's our worship team? I want to sing Whose I Am Again. Whose I Am Again. To the praise of his glory. Or I don't remember. It's at the bottom in the article. Did you find it? See if I can find it here real quick. You got it, Greg? Light of the Word Ministries. Let me go back up if it lists her. She very graciously has not put her name. At any rate. Boy, I don't know about you, but there's enough to get a hold of this morning to reroute some big things in our lives. Let's stand to our feet this morning and just receive. I'm not going to give an altar call. Altars are open. Those of you who pray with me, I'd like for you guys to join me. We're reorganizing some of that. We want you part of it if you would. God's going to help me. But those of you that are would join me in prayer as we dismiss with this worship song, if you're here today and you're in need of prayer, you don't need a word like Rebecca. We can agree right now and expect God to move. Okay? If you're here and you're not born again, I think I know everybody that's in here. I'm not going to give a special altar call for that. But if you're here and you're not sure, man, I'd love to pray with you. But right now, what I want us to do more than anything else as we leave out of here, let's do some praise to his glory. Right back at you, God, for all the grace that you have extended to us. Your goodness and the fact that every authority of the enemy has been put under our feet. What a great, great message. The truth of the gospel. Let's lift our hands all over the room. Right now, Jesus, come on, say it out loud. Right now, I believe with everything that is within me. And Lord, help my unbelief. I'm growing. And you're the helper. But I receive today. And in this process, come on, say it out. When in this process, I'm truly submitting to you. your son, your daughter. Now the rest of that is up to you on the way home. And the rest of this week, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will light a shuck. Get the heck out of Dodge. I'm very glad for the authority that we have. Come on. Don't give up speaking over your kids. Don't give up speaking over your situation. Don't give up speaking the word of God. Don't you dare ever tuck head to the devil. Greater is he that is in you. Come on, now you know what the praise of his glory is all about. We are announcing how great our master is, for he has set us free. Are you free today? Getting freer? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to join these guys. Altars are open. Come up here and join me if you would. Carolyn, Carol, I'll go if it's your week, but I want you guys to help me anyway. Can we get things reorganized? Would you come up here and join me? Again, would you join us? If you have any need, don't leave here hurting. We'd love to agree with you, but we're going to close in worship. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Father, we thank you for your word. Plant it deep. Bringing forth fruit. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Altars are open. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Let's worship together.